Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good.
What advice would you give to upcoming like female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7? Ooh.
Yeah, but
so,
look at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. You cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Hello, acclaimed comics writer and notorious Scott Summers hater, Rosie Knight.
Well, hello, Emmy-winning podcaster and totally unbiased Targaryen royal supporter, Jason Concepcion.
Somehow the X-Ray Vision podcast has returned.
And like always, we'll be here every week.
You'll hear from TV writers, actors, comics creators, pop culture critics.
Nothing is off the table.
Listen to X-Ray Vision on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's 902-1ONG with Jenny Garth and Tori Spelling.
Oh boy, you guys, we are here with another episode of 902-1ONG. And Tori's here, Amy's here, Jenny's here, we're all here. Yay!
We're here.
Sometimes I wish everyone listening could get the behind the scenes like I get.
Well, they basically do because we have not a lot of filters. So what goes on in the next hour is basically behind the scenes.
Oh, God.
What, we just got to view your hot pants?
Yeah.
Johnny, so everybody.
And Jen, what were they?
Amy, just for the record, has taken this podcasting casual apparel to the next level. And she's wearing hot pants. That's right. Hot pants. But they have a Dalmatian pattern on them, which is even better.
I look normal on top, but I was running into the room and the camera was on. And Jenny says, I look your hot pants. You guys, I'm wearing my pajamas on the bottom. I'm basically just wearing underwear.
It's okay.
I mean, we both said hot pants, but I feel like that's our generation.
Well,
like, what do they call
hot
them
pants
now?
Cheekies. Booty shorts.
They call
They're
them cheekies.
They're back, too.
I know. Ugh, man.
What's crazy is how much of the fashion in this season is back.
Yes. Because it's
crop tops.
It's so good.
What Donna wore to the fraternity party.
Now here like, she goes. We haven't even introduced the episode yet. Good Lord, woman.
There's an order.
I think her hot pants are too tight.
Jen, you need a gavel. Like Brandon
I need a
had
gavel.
In that scene.
You know what? I have a gavel.
Oh my God.
Oh yeah.
That'd be good.
Get it.
And when we go off track, you go.
I know. I got to find
Jenny
him.
Brings
it's
us
my
back.
Dad's gavel. He was a teacher and he had a gavel on his desk.
Oh, that's epic.
I need that.
Brandon was aggressive with that.
Yeah.
Meeting
okay.
Was sexy. The action.
Okay.
Guys.
Go back.
Season 5, episode 4, Life After Death, aired September 28th, 1994.
Synopsis: Brandon is devastated by Josh's death, and Kelly can't seem to make him feel better. Dylan and Valerie bond over the loss of their dads. Claire starts falling for David, but has no idea he's Donna's former love. Yikes! Meanwhile, Mrs. Martin sets Donna up on a blind date with a boy she already had her eyes on, and Steve gets saved by Brandon after the cops show up at his frat party.
This was an action-packed episode, I will say. Yes. That. I mean, not like, you know, this was the aftermath of Josh dying, so there was no big blow-ups or big things that really happened, but there was just a lot of stories going on.
Yes. Half of which were amazing, and then half of which were a little bit snoozy.
A little womp womp, yeah.
I don't know. It had me all feeling 90210-y.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It was a real 90210-y.
Jen created last week. This is full on. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I really liked the writing in this episode.
What? Wait, I didn't even say it was directed by James Whitmore Jr. and written by Jessica Klein and Steve Wasserman. Mm. So that explains that, because they were our faves.
Yes. Totally.
There was the banter.
A male perspective and a female perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There was the witty sort of cheesy banter, which I got a lot of messages that people love the double entendre, even though I was like, it's barf. A lot of people loved that.
They do?
This one, really?
Yes. Oh, yes. There's a lot of Valerie Dylan people.
Wait. Oh, okay.
Say more.
Yeah. They just think it's great and that I was wrong, which, okay, well, sure. I
don't like that all that sex banter either. That all that, you know, dirty innuendos there.
Well, we have some of it again. And so I tried to be more open-minded to it. Well, we can get to it. But she
was. You shouldn't play with crazy matches. As the surface top.
No.
Big top.
Clearly, yeah, you want to jump in and talk about Val and Dylan. So let's just do it. I mean,
I'm down to do it.
I didn't remember.
May I just bring this up?
What?
Should we, however, maybe start with Josh so we get the sad part out of the way and then can go fun?
Okay, fine.
Just because it does
good idea,
open.
Actually.
I'm just saying.
Well, we can't really start with Josh because Josh is dead.
Okay,
we're done.
And next storyline.
No, I have a few thoughts. Kelly is aware that she doesn't always say quite the right thing, because we've seen almost that exact moment play out. But then yet she does find a way to say exactly the right thing.
I know. I feel like this is another example of when she's like in a situation, she doesn't really know how to handle it. So she just gets quiet. Like she doesn't say anything. And that's kind of seen as not understanding or not compassionate, but she doesn't know what to say or do. I mean, who knows, especially at that age, what to say or do in this situation when your boyfriend's just had this happen to him.
True, but I thought it was a really nice build from the beginning of where she didn't know what to say and how it was misinterpreted by Brandon to the end scene, which you were brilliant in, and I love that scene.
Yeah, I was happy that she went to talk to Andrea. And those two, you know, Andrea kind of does that with Donna. She does it with all the characters, really.
Right.
Gives them that sage advice, just like she does in real life. Gab. So it works. And I always love those scenes because it's like the dynamics of us in real life.
Wait, that's cute. So is that you kind of would go to Gabrielle for that same kind of advice, wisdom, calm?
Not go to.
I was going to say the same thing.
Wait, explain. Like she was just there, or she would be willing to give the advice?
She's just there in your moment of need. And she is just she knows when to speak and when you need to hear something.
Yeah, in a mature way that when we were young and we didn't know what to say to each other, she would just step in and give her opinion. She was married by now. I mean, she had a baby, duh.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Just like her character. Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Literally.
Mm-hmm.
Literally.
Yeah. But I felt like that I did enjoy the build between Brandon and Kelly. The way he was just searching and so lost, and I really loved his acting this episode, Jason's acting. I didn't love that the show started on the eulogy, and I didn't love the way his eulogy was written, just because it felt very like political guy. Like, yeah, I don't know, it just wasn't like real talk.
Agreed. Yeah.
But and the emotional roller coaster that he went through throughout the whole episode was really fun to watch and touching and real, you know, because it took him a while to just sort of, I mean, by no means is he over the grieving process, but you got to see effects of something and how it, you know, he tried to rally for Steve. He tried to go to that party.
Yep, yep.
So insensitive of Steve, by the way.
Steve's a jerk.
What a jerk. I was too focused on Ian's hair. Oof, it was.
Ian's a bit, I mean, sorry, not Ian, Steve, pardon me, is always about Steve. At the end of the day, he does have a little of that. Where it's
but
like,
I love that's the way that character is written, because that's right. How people are.
Exactly.
There's some
and
people.
Especially in college.
Yeah.
Especially. Was it just me or did, I was going to say Jason, but did Brandon Walsh look especially sexy this episode?
Like, yes.
Different from last episode.
Yeah. You know what it is? I think
his
maybe
neck?
His, I don't know.
In a suit?
I don't know if it's the neck, but he just felt grounded. He felt like there was a quiet sexiness about him in this episode, and it was not overt, and it was not like chomping on gum, and it was just like I like that, like meaningful, thoughtful, mindful Brandon.
Yeah, because he had to play it like he was more going through this heavy stuff in this episode. Can
good
I ask you a question?
I love that. I mean, I just was all about the physical, but yes.
It came from inside.
Yeah.
I feel like Kelly ends up with men that are a little bit not totally in touch with what they're really experiencing. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, in the bedroom
scene
when he's, it just reminded me of like, I've seen this before with Dylan. So he comes in, he obviously didn't want to be alone. And you're like trying your best. You're still just a 20 something. Do you want to get in the bed? Do you want to talk? And then they get so huffy, like, oh, maybe I do want to be alone. And it's like, you didn't do anything.
She's got patience, man, to deal with these drama queens.
You know what it is? Like, I feel like people drive really far to get to that beach house and they leave real quick. So, like,
so
Brandon,
true.
That was a far drive. Like,
it's close.
We'll cut
it's
to
so
it
much
later,
closer.
But David?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, right. It's so true. People don't just stop in when you live in, you know, where is that? Huntington Beach?
Except for David. He came in and
right. Yeah, so, for sake of the show, it was probably Malibu. I don't know.
Yeah. But
David
still,
did come in.
Good 30 minutes. Right.
Yeah. Long drive.
Yeah.
But yeah, Kelly always ends up with men. And I don't want to say always, but there are similarities between Brandon dealing with emotions and Dylan. They just aren't quite evolved to like realize, oh, wait, I'm not really mad at you or even upset at you. I'm just devastated by this situation.
Yeah. Like all young 20-year-old boys.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like, actually written pretty accurately.
I just tried to do like the history check and the roster check. Does that pan out? Does she... I'm trying to think of all the boyfriends Kelly had and if
Steve,
they were all
well, he wasn't really
unemotionally attached.
Well, later she gets some bad dudes.
I went straight from Brandon to Matt Durning, and that there's more in between.
Oh, there's so many more. The only ones I can remember are Dylan and Brandon at this point.
Oh, what about the one that gets you into drugs?
Oh, Colin.
John Sears. But he wasn't a boyfriend. Oh,
John Sears.
Yuck.
Ugh. And the guy that didn't even leave a blanket down for you.
I didn't think people were appropriately dressed at that eulogy funeral.
Okay. Agreed. Like I went, first of all, I called it out like in my brain. I was like, wait, Steve's wearing a polo to a funeral? But then I was like, wait, is it on campus?
It's on campus, right?
Yeah, it was like, maybe it was just the campus memorial.
And what is, oh, okay.
It was a weird look
if that
when
was
you looked at the
just
crowd,
one of his memorials, there was a lot of flowers there.
Oh.
And purple ones growing out of Brandon's head. I was very distracted. Sorry.
So many flowers and a lot of stained glass in this episode. I didn't realize the Martins also have stained green glass.
And koi fish. Remember the koi fish, John?
By the entry? Oh, no, yeah. Inside the foyer. Was it inside? Yeah.
Oh.
Did they show the koi fish outside. In this episode?
Not in this episode, but.
Oh, I would have loved to see that.
Mm-hmm. It was wait, we should just, I mean, are we done talking about Brandon or no?
Let me think.
We have to talk about Joshua's sister.
Oh, yeah. She
and the good. I love yous. And the I love yous. I think there was a very poignant I love you.
Mm-hmm. There, Nancy Sorrell played Gloria Richland.
Mm-hmm.
She was great.
Yeah, that was good.
I mean, it was like, what do you really do with that role? But be the grieving sister?
I only was a little confused how the letter that Josh sent got to the mom with the photo and then all the way back to Beverly Hills in like a day.
Stop it.
But I was willing to sacrifice the impossibility of that. I was like, okay, maybe the letter was faxed back because it was all typed, but then the photo got back. Mm-mm. So that
I didn't
is
know
what it is.
Where the whole thing was going. I thought it was building to something. It was going to be like plot twist. And then no, just a grieving sister.
Mm-hmm. But her whole point was to deliver that letter
right.
So that Brandon could then come to terms with his relationship. Because he was feeling so guilty and he was,
mm-hmm.
you know, he didn't know how to mourn because he was feeling guilty himself for not being a better friend or for all the things. And then that kind of helped him get through that phase of it.
He hated that dude. You both did for quite a while. What did you say to him? Remember at the camp out thing? You had some line to Josh. It was like... Like it was kind of like make like a tree and leave, Josh.
Oh, but it wasn't. Yeah, that's right. It was kind of like that.
She told him.
Wait, I have a question. Do you think the blue sweater from Josh to Brandon will come back in a future episode or the sweater will meet the fate of Emily Valentine and just never come
never,
back?
Never, never seen him again. Yeah.
Just asking for a friend. Okay, perfect.
Yeah, he buried that Excellent. In his time capsule along with Emily Valentine.
Excellent question.
But yeah, Amy, to your point, the end, well, then we'll wrap this one up, the end with Kelly and Brandon. I love the way Kelly's just in her room a lot in this episode.
And it's very decorated.
It's very moody, red. And
very.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know many college apartments
wine color.
That have that much decor, the dark. And then, did you guys notice there's a shelf
the pink
on the wall?
Pillar candle.
Yes, the pillar candles. Shelf on the wall with a photo on it. And I tried so hard to zoom in. Is that Brandon? There's a photo of just one person.
I don't know. I didn't see it.
It's very, what would we call that?
Maybe it's a signed photo from Brandon to Kelly, like Dylan wrote to Brenda.
Very, very good point. Could be.
Mm-hmm. Is Z Gallery wrong to describe that room as a Z Gallery
no, no.
room?
That feels more Pier 1 Imports.
Mm-hmm. Sure does.
Very, very decorated.
Z Gallery was too cool for Kelly at that time.
Yeah.
But I really felt like at the end in that scene, when he can receive her help and love, and he says, I love you. I was like, now I see the Kelly and Brandon relationship. Like, it became really clear that they're so good together.
Yes.
So good.
I'm going to say such a controversial thing. Uh-uh. Sometimes I like them better than Dylan and Kelly.
Me too. Yeah. They're better for each other.
I think so.
Hey, everyone. So as you can imagine, we know a thing or two about makeup. We've pretty much tried it all.
And we are really liking Thrive Cosmetics because they have a full line of makeup perfect for an everyday look refresh.
They have clean ingredients that feel great on your skin. And their products are foolproof, which makes it easy for any skill level to apply.
And it's really cool to know that Thrive Cosmetics donates products and funds to help communities thrive.
Oh, I love that connection. See that? Plus, how cool is it that their high-performance formulas are certified 100% vegan? and cruelty-free.
Amazing. And they have zero parabens, sulfates, and phthalates.
I really believe when it comes to makeup, beautiful eyebrows are so important. Don't you think? Their Infinity Waterproof Eyebrow Liner helps you achieve your ideal eyebrow look.
And their easy-to-use waterproof pencil holds like a wax and blends like a powder.
Ooh la la. Refresh your everyday look with Thrive Cosmetics, luxury beauty that gives back.
Right now, you can get an exclusive 10% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/90210.
That's Thrive Cosmetics. CAUSEMETICS.com/90210 for 10% off your first order.
Want to temporarily restore definition in your jawline where it's been lost over time? With Juvederm Volux XC, you can get a non-surgical jawline treatment that adds volume for a smooth contour and to reduce the appearance of jowls in one in-office treatment with little downtime. Juvederm Volux XC injectable gel is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
With everything you have on your plate, earning your degree online seems impossible. But at Grand Canyon University, we specialize in helping you fit a master's degree in business into your busy day. Your graduation team, led by your own GCU counselor, provides you with the personal support you need to succeed. Achieve your goals with a plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.
In this episode, you guys remind me, like, if I didn't know you guys, I'd be like, are they a couple in real life? Because it's so real. The tension, the love, like, it's like a knowing love.
Mm-hmm.
It's so good. You guys are good. So good.
Yeah. We were super close, like brother, sister close.
Right.
And I think that that was just a natural relationship for us to have on camera.
Yeah. You know, okay. So this is what I'm sort of. There might be more chemistry between Kelly and Dylan or Jenny and Luke, like kind of like it's sexier almost.
Right.
And correct me if I'm wrong. This is just, I'm spitballing with you guys. It's sexy, right? You're like, it's hot. Whereas Brandon and Kelly to me is like marriage material.
Yeah. It feels like love.
Yeah.
Love is in the air.
Yeah. Is it speaking like in of, love versus love or no?
Love. I feel like it's, they have love for each
like
other.
Feels like love, yeah.
I still have love for Brandon slash Jason, you know?
Don't we already have more I love yous between the two of them than we really ever had between Kelly and Dylan?
Did they ever say I love you, Kelly?
I don't quite remember it off the top of my head right now. It was so sort of.
Someone tell us.
Yeah, I'm sure people know. Listening.
They must.
Y'all know. Tell us, because I don't feel like I remember seeing that.
It's I don't remember it.
But speaking of love, hello, enter Casper Van Diem.
Oh my gosh. Oh.
What?
Hello.
Griffin Stone. Ha-cha-cha.
Did not remember. Obviously, I Casper Van Dien is so hot, right? I knew he was on 90210. He looks the same, but young. It was weird. Like my brain was doing so many weird things.
Yeah, that's
that.
Weird how that works, Amy. People look the same, but younger. when you see them.
But there's something about you guys that is the same to me. I don't know why, but when I see all of you,
she's something wrong with her.
And not that he looks old now. He looks great now. He just looks slightly different.
He does?
I don't know. That's what I thought. I mean, I know him from Starship Troopers.
And this was before that movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What in the world? Okay, I'm sorry, but talk to me about the bikini scene. I was like, am I watching Tori trying to make David jealous, or am I watching Tori trying to make Ryan jealous, or Donna trying to make David jealous?
I just heard those names. I was like, wait, who, what?
It just seemed so, wow.
Wait, they were at the beach.
But she puts his hand, you put your hand on his chest. You both look great. You hold hands as you go off. And I'm like, this is juicy. Like, what's happening?
While that scene took place later in the episode, that was actually the first scene that I ever shot with Casper.
Oh, so you're like, nice to meet you. Here's my bikini.
Here I am in a red bikini. Yeah.
So met him that day and was like, oh my gosh.
He's so hot.
Wow. So hot. And then had to wear a bikini. And obviously awkward scene, you guys, because it's me and my wink, wink, on screen, off screen, whatever that was. Brian,
that's what
David,
I'm saying. Yeah.
And then this new hot guy. And I had to wear a bikini. I just remember having to choose that bikini and Kathleen being instrumental. And I think that was the start of our friendship because I was like,
really?
I'm so nervous. And she was like, you look so hot. And I was like, are you sure? And funny, it's red. Like, who wore the red dress? Well, the red bikini. And yeah.
You look great.
Poor Casper Van Dien, because I'm thinking of him as, you know, he became very famous. He's still recognizable. But at the time, he's just a regular old dude. Like, he wasn't
a famous
guest star, right? Like,
no.
We know him now. This guy has to show up with all of you and be shirtless, like, right out the gate. So his first scene, he's just like,
he doesn't really strike me as the type to worry about that. I mean, look at him.
So wait.
Very confident.
Were you guys like, who is this hottie? Like, what were you? Can anybody remember when he joined? Because he's here for a bit. So I don't know if you knew that or not at the time.
I do remember. And yeah, now that you're saying that, I don't think I was like, oh my gosh, nice to meet you. I think I probably had seen a headshot of his, which they would put up in like wardrobe for the guest cast coming and being like, oh my God, this is the guy that's cast as my boyfriend. Because it's really Donna's first boyfriend besides David, because he is there for
and
quite a while.
Besides the guy at the ski place.
Peppergate. Yep.
Peppergate.
Yes.
Did you guys know him from around, or was he
and
really
he
like?
He actually shows up and stays until Jamie Walters.
Yeah, they're on a bit.
There's a duel for Donna.
Yes, that's right.
Oh, good to know.
But I, yes, thought he was really super hot. Wait, Jen, you know the story, right?
What story?
I don't know.
Tell me it.
Wait, what?
Then I'll tell you if I know it.
What?
The Casper thing.
Tell me it again. Refresh my memes.
What Casper thing?
So we met here and flirted and ended up dating.
Stop.
You and Casper Van Dien.
Correct.
I didn't know that. I mean, I probably did. Oh my God, she's going to say something.
No, I'm trying to remember if you knew it at that time. So after this scene in the red bikini, which was at the beach apartment, they had just come back from the beach, was actually shot as the last scene of the day at night and lit for day. So it was like on a Friday. Yes, a Friday night. And I just remember afterwards, I made Kathleen stay with me and we like hung out with him and talked. And then, yeah, he and I dated for a bit.
Like kissed.
Yes.
More than?
No.
Well, they dated for an indefinite amount of time.
Wait, so you meet, so you guys did not know him from like around Hollywood, as they say. Like,
no, first time I ever saw
running in your circles. Because you know how sometimes, Brian's friend plays a part or Jason's friend plays a part. So this guy was just new cast just to play this part.
And at the time, I remember thinking like, this was new for me, like dating someone that you meet once you become famous on a TV show. And also I'm on a TV show that my dad produces. So in my mind, I'm like, no one's ever going to want to date me. And yes, and very nice guy and very, he's a very conservative PC guy. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, like he's a gentleman.
A gentleman, complete gentleman.
Now, was there paparazzi at the time or would they have not captured it because he wasn't what we, like, he became famous as this continued? So like, would paparazzi follow you if you went on a date with someone?
No. And I feel like we just, you know, when you're young, you hang out. So like Kathleen was there most of the time. We were with friends. He and I were alone at some point, but he was a really good guy. And this is when I was getting out of that bad boyfriend relationship. And he was very concerned and just a gentleman and helped talk me through it as a friend. And then we dated a little bit. That's all.
Oh, I like that story.
He's a nice guy.
But I don't remember it.
But he got me out of a really bad thing because after that bad boyfriend, I was like, oh my gosh, feeling really bad about myself. And then there's this hot guy who's smart and funny and nice. First nice guy. And I was like, oh my gosh. So he's a good guy.
I mean, you really had him stacked against you because Felice, even your on-camera mom, is telling you things like, Donna, you better marry a very rich man so he can support you in the way in which you're accustomed to. I was like, hey, mom, take it. Take
it
right there.
Did you love that I said to her, though, I could do laundry? Were you laughing at that?
Yeah. Oh, sweet Donna knows how to do laundry.
I can't do laundry.
Felice is a problem.
She is. She says, Donna, don't be a pill.
Yeah, she's so...
We have some fat-free muffins.
And Mandy all get dressed up.
And a very
up.
Wrinkled blazer. That back of that blazer was wrinkled.
Those ladies were dressed up.
Yeah, that was ladies' luncheon. But in the scene before when she tells you to marry a rich man or else you're just going to die, you had that funny little, the jean roll that still we talked about last week. But it wasn't just the unbuttoned jeans. It was a full roll. Like, yeah.
That, now it's here. That was a trend. That was a trend.
Yeah, I remember
that. Doing that. Yeah, that was definitely a trend.
Wait, I did notice a lot of people, though, a lot of our listeners were saying the unbutton of Tiffany's jeans last week, that was on trend as well. Just
well,
first.
I'd like to bring it back because I got some new One Teaspoon. Do you guys know One Teaspoon jean shorts? And I literally thought of you all because they fit. Except for that top button.
You can't get it closed?
I can. I just doesn't feel comfortable.
How about this hack?
I don't believe you.
You can just use a hair tie.
Oh, and then like stretch it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I used to do that during pregnancy, didn't you?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That is how you do it, I think, when you're like maternal.
Yeah.
What else can we talk about? I feel like...
So much.
There's so much to talk about.
The party. Should we talk about the keg party?
We need to point out again that how convenient is it that Claire has moved, Claire from Brandon's storyline moves into Kelly and Donna's world in their storyline, then magically meets David randomly at a giant school full of people and then wants to date him. And then he says, wait, you live in my old room. It's just so like incredibly insulary, like, but I guess I'm here for it because I want these interrelational shenanigans, right. You know?
100%.
I forgot until now that Claire and David dated. And I had to check myself to see if I felt jealousy. And I felt nothing.
Like IRL?
Yeah, because remember I would say when girls would come on, I'd feel jealous. Mm-hmm.
Well,
if
that's good because she's
Ryan.
Your friend.
I felt nothing.
Perfect.
Because like, literally in that scene with all of them, it was my bestie, my exie, and my crushy. And like, we all moved on.
Yeah. And it didn't hurt that your crushy looked like he looked.
Yeah. Can we talk about like girl code? Is that a little bit of a sort of a...
Yes, that's wrong. Kelly would never do that to Donna.
Like, yeah, sorry. And the you're
but
the
Claire
new
gets
roommate.
Away with it. Like, you don't feel threatened. You know what I mean?
I guess she's new. But I was like, if I was the new roommate, I'm certainly not going to just start dating the roommate's ex and then having him come over, host is clear. Like, it was just seemed a little bit like, wait a minute, is this a jerk move?
I don't feel like Claire has many scruples. Is that the right word?
Yeah.
Scruples.
She's scrupulous. Donna care. Like, if that's your first love, like, you still care somewhere inside. She's just fine with it.
Again, Casper Van Diem.
Right. She says, I'm not good at being good, or whatever she says.
Claire does, right?
I'm not very good at being good.
Yeah. I think they're cute together. Like, when they were working on the computer. But I'm also like, y'all are
jerks.
I wish
his arm around her.
His arm around her.
That's platonic.
So weird.
So I guess they're going to become a couple? Is that what's happening here?
I forgot. Yep.
Wow. Okay.
Kind of inappropriate.
Just like, I forgot that Val goes after Dylan for the first, you know, that's her first like conquest in the man chain.
I did.
Can we talk about the eggs? Is it time to talk about the eggs? What,
why would he just be peeling eggs, first of all? And that's got to stink.
Imagine, like, but it's kind of funny. Like, it's...
Why? Why would anyone pick eggs? And then poor Valerie Tiffany has to twice, one big old bite, and then she took, like, a mini bite of
they
the
both kind
straight
of
egg.
She could have gone for it.
I am so anti-eating eggs, y'all. Like, I can't eat eggs. Because
eggs?
What? Why are you laughing?
I forgot.
Yeah, eggs? No, eggs? Uh-uh.
Mm-mm, no.
Because they come out of the chicken's little tushy, and I'm not interested in eating that.
Oh, they, first of all, I did not know that. They poop the eggs?
The chicken eggs. Well, it's not the pooper. It's the neighbor.
The vagina?
It's the egg hole. I don't know the proper terms for chicken anatomy, but
didn't you have a farm?
I love chickens. We love
chickens.
You didn't eat
the eggs.
She's trying to put it nicely about where it comes out. Oh.
Yeah.
And I comes like out it. Of their vagina.
And I know, yeah, it's gross. I can't handle it. And then I saw those eggs and I knew somebody was going to eat an egg in that scene and then she did and I lost it.
Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As important as choosing the right destination when traveling is choosing the right travel partner.
Gene!
Eugene Fodor!
Gene, was booted!
Much of the joy you will find on the road comes from the person you share it with.
So you write the books, Gene, and Vlastar runs the business. I understand now, it is a wise man marries a wiser woman.
But be careful and choose your travel partner well, because the worst trips result when two partners have two different agendas.
Get down!
I'm not stupid, Jean. Something is going on, and it's high time you tell me the truth.
Freeze, Americano! Huh? Oh!
Jean, run!
So travel before it's too late. Your money will return, your time won't, and we're all too quickly approaching that final destination.
Listen to Fodor's Guide to Espionage on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
But I gotta say, only Luke Perry could look super sexy eating eggs and peeling them. Well, he didn't really eat them.
He just cracked them.
This is comical, but sexy.
And he cracked it on the table and then was peeling it. And it looked hard to peel. He was like, you know how when sometimes you're not getting a good peel and it's coming off in bits? And he's got to act and deliver the speech.
To have been James Whitmore Jr., the director's idea. Like, he read that scene and thought, oh, this is a great thing. I'm going to have Dylan peeling eggs so they can get to the egg conversation at the end.
But it was so random. And then he makes an egg salad crack. I'm just like,
yeah, I just
that made me hungry.
I felt like they were relating on the dead dad thing, and I liked that for a second.
I liked
that in that character, but then she turned bad again, and then I was like, oh no, she is a bad egg, and that's what she will always be.
How about when she said, I don't believe in anything. Like, she's so, I understand she's totally dark, but it's just like, and then he says, my dad was blown up by a bomb in a car. Just,
and then they kind of chuckle.
Just peeling.
I did feel like when she told the story of how her dad died, it was, they're both on the hint of like, not laughing, but like, it was very dark.
Very dark. And I thought, oh, they work together. This is good. Val and Dylan, maybe they should be together.
They totally
It's dark comedy. Because there was comedy in there.
Mm-hmm.
Can I throw another food flag out?
Yeah.
The guacamole looked so bad.
Well, store-bought guacamole always looks bad.
At first, when he said guacamole, I was like, it's sour cream and onion dip. Because it looked so not green.
Man.
And then they zoom in a little bit more on it. And you're like, oh, yeah, that's literally like Safeway. Worse than Safeway guac. Like Costco guac or
something. Look, there's a lot of our listeners that like Costco guac. So now you got some more haters.
But watch closely. You take a chip, like you're going to eat the chip as you walk off. And you walk off. And the chip is still whole up by your mouth as you walk off screen, and you never bit the chip.
I didn't want to eat that.
Steve's finger in the guac that he licks off. Come on.
Boys are gross.
So gross.
So gross.
What about the part? Okay, at the party, since we're prepping for the party, then we go to the party, then that's where you lay eyes on Casper. I want to say Casper, but his name is
great outfit.
What's Griffin. His name?
Griffin Stone. So soap opera.
It is. It really is. Then you lay eyes on him, and then you guys start dancing. And I don't know what it is about watching a dancing scene like that. It makes me feel so uncomfy. And it's like some sort of weird, I'm like watching National Geographic with like some sort of bird mating dance ritual that's going on. And I just was like, oh my God, I don't like this.
Oh my gosh. All I could think is if that was you, you'd be like, too close. You're too close. You're breathing on me. Like, it was, they were so close.
I know. And then I felt like Donna was getting a little vibey with him, like giving him
it was vibey.
She's giving some hints. And then he takes the hints. And then you turn on a dime and you're like,
freaked.
Not the kind of girl for you. Which is good. But I was like, hey, Donna, why are you being all sexy kitty with him if you don't, that's not what your goal is?
I felt like it was, she was a little bit of a tease there.
Yeah, tease, that's the
word. But I'm going to try to think back to that moment. And probably if he wasn't so hot and I did want to vibe with him, I probably would have played that scene differently.
Maybe, yeah.
So I think I was taking full advantage, and so was he, that we were both like, oh yeah, we get to touch each other, slow dance, be real close to each other.
Yeah, that makes sense.
He was a nice gentleman, too. He was sort of playing along, and then you freaked, and he's like, I'd like to get to know you better.
Indoor sports.
He just doesn't tell you that your mothers are friends. He kind of, pulled the wool over, as they say.
Fun reveal.
And am I correct in saying there was probably no music going while you're dancing? I heard when you have those scenes in a TV show, they can't really play the music because it messes up the talking. So you're just dancing to like what's nothing.
Yeah.
That
would be so tough.
Hard.
It is hard.
And all those extras.
It when there's dialogue, they can't play the music because they won't be able to have your clean dialogue track. So what they usually do in a scene like that is they play the music like before they call action and everybody hears it and starts dancing to the beat, and then they cut it off and then say action. Then they do the scene. Yeah.
And during rehearsal, the director's like, okay, we'll just dance so we know like where you're going to be and how it's going to look on camera. And you feel so uncomfortable. And you're like, I was probably like rolling my eyes like, oh, I'll do it on camera. I'm fine.
Do you feel a bit dorky?
Yes.
It's kind of like,
especially
the hot guy.
Why did Kelly, Donna, and Claire all have the same hairdo?
Oh my gosh.
And now the same eyebrows. It's as if they all came out of the same makeup and hair trailer.
Who's wearing it best?
Each of them individually looks great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hers is a bit shorter, but she can rock a red lip. There was a scene where she looked really great.
Yeah.
With the red lip.
She's cute.
And she's really started that, well, at least from what I saw, like that. What was it? Not the mesh top, but what were those?
What's that called?
It was a polo she wore, but it was made of not mesh, but you know what I mean.
Knit? Fishnet?
Almost, cotton? But.
Knit? Cotton knit.
Crochet.
Crochet. No, because it's almost see-through. You wear your bra underneath. They have mesh. Nowadays.
Mesh.
Yeah. I remember her like asking for those, and they brought them on, and that was like her character's thing. And I remember at first kind of saying to her like, oh my god, like making fun of her in a funny way, and she had her own distinct style, and she totally added that to the character, like she created that style, and then it became huge, and of course I copied, but that was like not a thing yet.
Wait, I was confused by one of her lines. She says to David, I think, there are three sides to every story. And then there's the truth. And I was like, wait, I thought it was there are two sides to every side. And then there's the truth. So three being the total. Wait, what's the third side?
Is she saying David, Donna, and Claire? I'm making guesses. I have no idea.
There's three people in that story.
In
so I guess
little triangle.
Mm.
But I could be wrong.
I'm used to the two-sided story because I'm not into triangles.
Can I also bring up a line, and not to be mean, because I know it was a eulogy at a memorial, when Steve says, there wasn't a dry eye in the place. And I wanted to be like, there was only dry eyes. Like, no one was crying. Not one person was crying.
Not one person. That's so true. When they panned around the audience a lot.
They all just looked sort of stoic.
We were hearing that is how it goes. There's
not a dry eye in the place.
No, there's three sides to every story.
Oh, she's
oh, you're still in the story. Okay.
Yeah.
That's
your
how
side,
it goes.
My side and the truth.
But she said,
but she says there are three sides to every story, and then there's the truth.
Oh, she said, and then instead. Yeah. Do you think she just said it wrong and they were like, oh, it's cute, leave it in? No one caught it. See, you caught it.
Also,
I was just confused.
90210 Same. Has discovered computers. And they are
that laptop, old Felice's laptop.
Felice's laptop, type. Claire's at the like computer lab or something. And then there's the computer at the beach house. Like, we've definitely found computers now. And tiny headphones.
I mean, the world was looking to this show to see like what was up, you know? Like, The world was watching Beverly Hills for the first time. They were watching teenage lives for the first time. So the show had a huge responsibility to be progressive and have like cell phones and all, you know, all the gadgets, everything, so that they looked current. I think that was probably very challenging.
Totally. I have must few questions.
When I started my eBay account and Beanie Babies in my dressing room. Wait, can we talk about the paint?
The paint,
yeah,
for
nice.
Sure.
I liked it.
Do you remember painting?
Which do they, no. Oh.
Did that stay? I don't feel like that
what
stayed.
Did they choose? Really?
They left it like all artsy in this episode, but then does it, maybe in the next episode, we'll see.
I don't think it's there.
Did they finish the painting job or?
I think so.
Also, Mrs. Gone. Teasley gets a shout out. Although I think you said Miss Teasley. So I was confused if she was Mrs. or Miss Teasley. Brenda gets a shout out with her ice cream.
Mm-hmm. I think it was Mrs. because
I thought she was Mrs.
It was like
Teasley.
Mrs. T. Like,
yeah, Mrs. but. T. And then did you guys see the random girl playing guitar? Just
sure did. How could you miss it? What do you mean? Right in front of the shot. Like,
wait,
started on it.
Does Andrea take her baby to school?
Everywhere. She takes that baby everywhere.
I didn't, know, she what, have I didn't know what to ask, but that is allowed. Like, how, what was is that the protocol? Yeah, I don't know.
Well, she was mad about the daycare. She couldn't do it. So I guess she's just bringing her.
Also, I would have liked to have seen that scene. Like, I would have liked to have seen her work that out with the school system.
Yeah.
That would have been interesting for her to have a storyline, not just show up with a baby in every scene.
Also, did you guys see they went to the E.D. Vincent School of Communications?
Yeah, what was that?
Isn't that your dad's partner?
E. Duke Vincent.
Yes.
Oh, Uncle Duke.
He got a shout out.
Oh, funny, funny.
Did he work on 90210?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, he was...
Was he your dad's partner at Spelling Productions, or what was he? He was on all these shows.
What was his title?
Dynasty and everything.
Not his partner, but like a...
Executive.
Like his executive producer right below him?
Mm-hmm.
All in all, very felt like this is a pretty good episode. I enjoyed the college of it all.
Me too.
But I can see, Amy, how you said maybe it was a little slow at times.
Yeah, I here's what I think. It wasn't that different for me than the episode before. They were very similar other than Griffin.
Mm-hmm.
It was like one kind of long thing, which I'm not mad about. It just was like, I'm ready for a little bit more soapy drama.
Me too. Jen's like, no.
Well, maybe that'll come next week. I have no idea what's going to happen, you guys. This is so exciting. Next week we have what's on deck? What's on deck? Ray Vaughn.
What?
Not Ray Vaughn, but Rave on.
Oh, literally was like,
who's Ray Vaughn?
I don't remember Ray Vaughn.
No, Rave on. Season 5, episode 5. That's y'all's homework for next week. Just FYI.
Wait, rate it. I rate it. Give me your ratings.
Oh, what did you give last week? You gave a 4 and then you changed it to a 6, right?
If I sadly gave a 3 and then I felt
bad.
Super embarrassed. Yeah, I did. I felt embarrassed and changed it to a 6, yes.
Right. Okay, so what do you give this week?
Okay, wait, can I ask you guys a friend question?
Of course.
Did I really love this episode because I had a bigger, more fun part? Or did I really like this episode? I can't tell. I'm too in it.
Are you coming back to fond memories and like your crush and like the whole thing that you're like blurring?
I felt like I was really like loose on camera. Nope, not loose. Well, Donna is a little too loose on camera, but I felt freer to be me. I felt like I was more Tori in this episode than Donna.
Oh,
and
that's cool.
If they did a drinking competition, every time I put my hand on my hips, did you notice that? It was way too much.
I noticed
like
the clippies.
Every scene.
I noticed the clippies.
Okay, wait.
At the
I'm embarrassed.
Keg party, two little
eight,
clippies.
No, what, 8.5.
Oh.
I give it an 8.
I thought you meant 8 clippies. I was like, no, you just had 2.
I give it an 8 too.
I'll give it 8.5.
All right. It's a good one. It's a little bit stronger than last week. Let's hope the next one goes the same direction.
I don't want to see Valerie and Steve go on a date or anything. Like, that's not going to happen. Can you assure me? Can you assure us, Amy, please?
Sorry, I fell asleep.
if that happens, I'm out.
That really hurts when you hit your forehead on the microphone. Yeah, I don't think. And now again, C's going to get played, and he's going to hate Dylan even more.
Oh my God, you're right.
Same storyline over and over and over.
They're just not meant to be friends.
Oh, shout out to Nat though. We need to give Nat a shout out.
We didn't talk about that.
Yeah, he really did the right thing with Brandon.
Yes, he did. He did such a nice job of mm-hmm. giving him advice.
Yeah, and some fries.
And he looked so handsome in that scene. Oh,
he really did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a sweet scene. And he was,
yeah,
that was great.
He had some good girls, some bad girls, some fun girls.
Yeah.
There was, I think that was all
well-rounded.
Some egg peeling. I can't wait to see if Dylan's chopping broccoli.
Stinky
in the next
egg
one.
Farts. Ugh, they smell like, that's why you don't like them also, because they smell.
They do smell. They do smell. They smell because,
that
well,
set had
you know
to
why.
Reek. Wait, do I know why? No, because it doesn't come out of the pooper. Poop. It comes out of the hooter. No, not hooter. Cooter. Nope.
Cooter.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, but.
God, I never knew that.
It's just gross. Have you ever? Okay, well, if you've ever had chickens and you've seen them lay eggs and then you look at the egg, you wouldn't eat the egg, people. Just saying. They get washed before they go to the grocery store.
Well, based on the sound they make while they're laying them.
Okay, no.
It's...
They make a sound when they're laying the eggs?
It hurts.
No.
And you're like, oh, legs. An egg's being laid.
Yep. It's not a fun thing to do, apparently.
Oh, my God.
Okay, guys. I gotta go. We gotta go. We gotta wrap this up.
Oh my
Love
God.
You.
Bye. Hello, acclaimed comics writer and notorious Scott Summers hater, Rosie Knight.
Well, hello, Emmy-winning podcaster and totally unbiased Targaryen royal supporter, Jason Concepcion.
Somehow the X-Ray Vision podcast has returned.
And like always, we'll be here every week.
You'll hear from TV writers, actors, comics creators, pop culture critics.
Nothing is off the table.
Listen to X-Ray Vision on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.